relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. Welcome back, dear friends, to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, your host on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to hundreds of stations and millions of listeners and live streaming at YouTube.com. Don't forget also, we have our backup site for those who believe in the First Amendment. We have our alternate video channel. It's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. And we are delighted as ever to have our regular guest with us today, Lord Conrad Black, author of A President Like No Other. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, I want to talk about your latest piece, the state of the Biden administration, but I regret this in advance. I didn't prepare you, but as given who you are, given your title, given where you live, I have to ask you your reaction to the Markle interview and the attack on the House of Windsor.
I thought it was an outrage. Look, we all make allowance for younger people. It's a high pressure position. They can live their lives as they wish, and everyone, especially a younger person, is. And a newcomer to that milieu is entitled to make a few slips. But with that said, we're talking about a monarchy which has been headed for 69 years by this queen. 69 years wow. She's ruled. She has not embarrassed her people once. She is you will never get a negative opinion of her. She's not exciting. But she's good, she's intelligent, she's diligent, and she's never said anything she needed to regret or caused her any embarrassment. And I think for these people to hold an interview with Oprah and for the Duchess, as she is, to say that there was a racist or quasi-racist in the royal family. Well, there are 30 people in the royal family, and quasi-racism is apt, especially in British circles like that, to include a slight racial allusion, which is what she was talking about, referring to the skin color of her anticipated child. And then she specifically said in private to Oprah Winfrey that it wasn't the Queen or the Duke of Edinburgh. Well, this is just absolutely irresponsible. I mean, whatever one thinks of a monarchy in general, or that monarchy, or the Commonwealth, the way it's structured, and I have my doubts about parts of it, but there are 54 countries in the British, the Commonwealth of Nations, not British anymore, they're set up by Britain, almost all of them, except for Mozambique, all of them former members of the British Empire, and almost 50 of them, about 48 or 49, are majority non-white. Now, where on earth does she get off saying somewhere in the royal family there's a presence of racial discrimination? There isn't. There's one thing you can say for the royals, from the way they treat people at Wimbledon to the trips they're always making to these countries and the attention they pay to them all, not just the big ones like India, but all of them. It is that there is not an ounce, not a trace of any such sentiment. I mean, Nelson Mandela was an honorary member of the royal family. The Queen brought Mozambique into the Commonwealth because Nelson Mandela's wife asked for it. She went and danced famously in the the throne series with the Ghanaian dictator Kwame Nkrumah in the 50s to settle a crisis with him. They have not a ounce, not a scintilla of such sentiment. And I thought it was an outrage.
But it's more than just the wink and the nod and the nudge. As someone who was born in the UK, grew up in the UK, who can, you know, has a prized possession. I wish I still had it now. My mug for the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth. The idea that somebody, anyone in the royal family would say, well, your son can't be a prince because he's of mixed race. Nobody buys that. Surely no. Do you think there are those who could believe that accusation?
Well, only people who don't know anything about the royal family. I mean, I would say not a single person above the age of six in Britain itself would think that. And anyone in any other country that pays any attention at all, has observed at all, or read anything about how that family works would know that. I mean, one thing Britain has never been able to do, has never been able to afford to do, frankly, but has not much had the inclination to do, is adopt prejudices of that kind, given that a substantial part of the strength of Great Britain has been the influence it has had, first as an imperial power and then as the founder of the Commonwealth. I mean, that's something no other European country has, and that plus its island status has given Britain a strategic position of great advantage opposite the other European countries. Even if in their innermost thoughts they had slightly questioning ideas about some aspects of how some of these non-white countries organize themselves and how their societies work, it's a sentiment they would never be inclined to express. And they certainly wouldn't express it in that way. And that's just nonsense. I mean, in the middle of they governed India, the so-called British Indian Empire, now seven different countries, including Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Myanmar. And they never had more than 100,000 British people in that land of hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. And they governed it because of the suavity and finesse with which they managed between the different groups, Muslims, Hindus, and all the huge, as you know, complexity of races and sects in that area. I mean, they're brilliant at it. Yeah. And this is, you know, it's like saying that there's not such a thing as a capitalist in Monte Carlo or something. It's just nonsense.
All right, well, let's hope this blows over as a storm in a teacup and turn to far more serious issues. Your latest piece at American Greatness, amgreatness.com, is entitled The Current Balance Sheet of American Democracy. Well, we are posting it now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. Lord Black, why do you draw that balance sheet around one specific piece of legislation, H.R. 1?
Well, in fairness, I only cite that as the principal current, you know, this week's illustration of why the subject is a worrisome one. I also mentioned that despite the tremendous, and we discussed this in previous appearances where you've been kind enough to ask me on, Sebastian, there is a tremendous effort to suppress any discussion whatever of the irregularities or questionable aspects of the integrity of the last presidential election. Now, a moron can see that these lopsided ballot drops in the middle of the night in a program financed by Zuckerberg, where Biden picks up 90% of votes that are mixed together in a way that make them unverifiable, it raises a question. Since 50,000 votes flipping in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Georgia would have turned the election in the Electoral College, not the popular vote. There is a question about it. I'm not saying it was stolen, but there is a question about that. The refusal of the Supreme Court to hear the arguments. In an original argument, the state of Texas, supported by 16 other states, against the states that they alleged had failed in their constitutional duty to assure a fair election. The Supreme Court can have no more important issue before it than that, and I'm not saying how they should have judged it. I wouldn't presume to say that, but they should have heard the case. That's worrisome. A country where 85% of the people disapprove of the Congress 85% of the people don't believe a word that they hear or read in the media. And when prosecutors convict 99% of the people they accuse, 95% of those without a trial, there are some real problems here and some real questions. And I think there is this H.R. 1 is really a backbreaker. I won't say a straw that breaks. It's the steel girder that breaks the camel's back if that goes through. I mean, just in case your listeners don't know it, they'll permit voting from 15 days before election day to 10 days after, ban any attempt to verify voting, allow people votes to count even if they're voting in the wrong precincts. They have no possible inquiry into the eligibility of voters, suppress any challenge to ballot harvesting. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's a blank check to run a competition, a rigging competition. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with those who say it's a sure thing for the Democrats. I mean, if that's how you're going to run elections, the Republicans can rig them too. But right. Is that what we want?
But the fact that this is coming from the Democrats tells you about the intent and the motivation, and it is disastrous legislation. Will it make it through the Senate? That is yet unsure. We are talking to Lord Conrad Black, the author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump. Follow him at Conrad M. Blank. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C.
Crisis on the Texas border right now, with the overwhelming number of people who are coming across the border. This crisis is a result of President Biden's open border policies. It invites illegal immigration and is creating a humanitarian crisis in Texas right now that will grow increasingly worse by the day.
That is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, not a man known for hyperbole, who has clearly laid the blame for the current crisis on the border at the feet of the current incumbent at the White House. We're going to analyze these issues and more with the author of the new piece at American Greatness, The Current Balance Sheet of American Democracy, a man who's authored books on numerous presidents, on President 45, on Richard Nixon, and FDR as well. Lord Black, welcome back to the show. As somebody who's written, I just started your Nixon book. I'm enjoying it immensely. Can I ask you to assist me if possible? We clearly have a crisis on the border. We are seeing skyrocketing illegal immigration. We're seeing the need to open the so-called, the former detention facilities that are now called influx facilities to 100% capacity despite the coronavirus. Is there any way to explain this logically without reference to future elections? Is there really a political logic to this administration's volte face on immigration policy?
Well, the volte face is opposite the preceding administration. I think the Democrats have been pretty consistent in letting in, in fairness, Obama was held to be the great deporter, but in general, they've been pretty consistent in a much more, a latitudinarian policy towards people claiming refuge than the Republicans. President Trump stuck to his word. For decades, we'd heard a lot of claptrap from both parties about comprehensive immigration reform, and nobody did anything. The country now has approximately 20 million people who came in illegally. I don't doubt that most of them are good people. That isn't the issue. But that many, for the most part, unskilled people, leave out the criminal element that is there, but I'm sure it's a minority, but unskilled workers in a desperate condition. I don't dispute that they're good people coming from a very inhospitable place, but it just keeps a rod on the back of the American working class, and it prevented them from any growth in income and ensured the increase of welfare dependency among authentic American citizens. So obviously it was a situation that required an immigration policy. You had to have a border. You have to have immigration, but it should be on the basis of merit, and it should go through a certain process. And that's what Trump imposed, and he got rid of over 90% of the illegal immigration. And it seems to me that when you ask, is there a logic to it, the only logic is that they sold out completely to a coalition between those who, like Jeb Bush, said, well, there's a matter of compassion here. We have to let a lot of these people in. And it's a commendable spirit, but it's dangerous in its implications beyond a certain point. It's a little like Angela Merkel admitting a million penurious refugees into Germany, a country with a quarter of the United States population, and that thing, it may be a kind-hearted thing, but it's dangerous to a lot of people, and economically dangerous. And secondly, with these genuinely benign, big-hearted people, commendable spirit, we have the outright cynicism of the Democratic Party pulling these people in, registering them as voters, never mind that they're not citizens and aren't eligible to vote. They cast their votes anyway, and they often cast the votes for them. And that's what's turned Arizona into a swing state and turned California into a, you know, which I remember is the state of Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Reagan walloped Pat Brown by 2 million votes. He walloped Jesse Big Daddy Unruh. Even George Duke Machen, even Arnold Schwarzenegger, Republican governors won. But it's not. What did Biden win by? 5 million votes or something? I mean, it's swamped with these people. And again, I'm not saying they're all bad people. I'm just saying it's a bad system, and now we see it. Nancy Pelosi said these cages reminded her of Auschwitz. They were inhuman. The whole thing was absolutely a moral monstrosity and an outrage, and they're right back to it now, and they won't even admit there's a crisis. It's just a disgrace.
This will be the first real crisis the Biden administration faces, and I think it is clear they are not up to the task. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now on Twitter at Lord Conrad M. Black, and you can read his latest piece at amgreatness.com or on our website, sebgorka.com. Let's look at the other side of the aisle, Lord Black. The President Trump issued a statement yesterday attacking the RINOs. No more money for Republicans in name only. They do nothing but hurt the Republican Party and our great voting base. They will never lead us to greatness. Is this something that had to be said, or could this presage some form of political civil war on the right?
I think he is within his rights, absolutely, to require that those organizations and candidacies purporting to be Republican that invoke him for fundraising and other purposes not do it without his agreement. I think it's a variation, or at least a facsimile in political terms of copyright law. I mean, people shouldn't invoke him if he doesn't approve of them. And on the broader question, I think that he is probably right that the Republicans, all Republicans, are going to have to choose whether they are really Trump supporters or whether they want to skim Trump's ability to bring in a lot of votes the Republicans didn't get before, especially from African Americans and Latin Americans and the working class people, collect those votes, but keep their distance from Trump himself. I think you can't suck and blow at the same time, and they're going to have to choose which way they're leaning here, I think we're going to get that shakeout in the run up to the midterm elections next year.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying that he has become the conservative kingmaker. I think it was in our last discussion that you floated the idea that we have a potential opposition leader now in the form of a one-time president who may be back, God willing. He may be the candidate for the Republican Party, something that, strangely, the system in the United States didn't have, but I think it is high time. Our guest has been Lord Conrad Black. Follow him at Conrad M. Black. The article is The Balance Sheet of American Democracy, and I tend to agree the greatest threat to it right now is the monstrosity of the H.R. 1 bill that will federalize U.S. elections to such an extent that you won't even have to prove you are an American to vote in an American election. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network. Your calls next on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. You can also text us at our patriotmobile.com text line 703-869-1262. Stay on this channel. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
And Janet Yellen, who I'll take her opinion more than the Canadian TV, really reality TV star, says we're not going to have inflation because we have the controls in place that we can deal with inflation. We haven't had inflation in this country for such a long time because we know how to deal with it now. So I don't think we're going to have horrific
inflation. Wait a second. This Canadian TV star, by the way, pays lots of taxes here, has his children that can vote, and is on his way to becoming an American citizen, hopefully, shortly. So I can vote, and I can't wait to do that.
I bet, because he's not going to vote for that congressman. Who, Jeff, are you there?
Yes.
Who is that congressman?
Never heard of him.
Tom Suozzi?
I think he's a New York reality star.
Are you sure this like he wasn't pranking Squawk Box? Do we think he's really a congressman?
I looked him up. He's real.
It's amazing. Where are these people? Where do they dig them out of? And by the way, he may be the grumpiest guy on Shark Tank, but Kevin O'Leary, you don't want to mess with him. He has also very good taste in wristwatches, by the way. Calling him a Canadian reality TV star, a very successful businessman. He has like a video podcast, vlog thing or whatever. His understanding of free market economics is superb. Okay, we got one more cut from that, but I'm going to save it till later. First things first, they're trying to deny it. They don't want you to know, but here is the truth. The number of unaccompanied minors detained at the U.S.-Mexican border has tripled in the last 14 days as the Biden administration is struggling to find adequate shelters to house them all. The number of minors detained at the border, this is from just our buddies, justthenews.com, John Solomon, great guys. The number of minors detained at the border is now 3,250, with over 1,300 having been detained longer than the 72 hours permitted by law. And they want to tell you it's not a crisis. It is so much so not a crisis. This is from the great Peter Hassan. When did Peter Hassan move to Fox? I kind of missed that. This is from Adam Shaw and Peter Hassan at foxnews.com. The Department of Homeland Security, the big boss there, Secretary Mayorkas, sent an email to his staff where he said the following. Quote, this is from the big boss, the DHS. You have likely seen the news about the overwhelming numbers, of migrants seeking access to this country. Well, what a polite, seeking access to this country. You mean illegal immigrants? So what does he add? Today, I activated the volunteer force, capital V, capital F, to support customs and border protection as they face a surge in migration along the southwest border. So there's this kind of reserve unit of volunteers that they've had to activate because there isn't a crisis. Got that? That's Biden speak. That's Biden mumble. I told you, this is the biggest crisis. And we have something that you need to see. It's a movie made by a woman who was a Democrat who wanted to investigate the situation of the broken immigration system in the United States. Her name is Namrata Singh Gujral, and she made America's Forgotten. And what she found out, well, it made her lose her friends. It made her anonymize the credits of the movie for fear of retribution, and even her family members rallied against the conclusions and the final message of her film. Find out the truth today. Watch the movie America's Forgotten at salemnow.com. These are the things the Biden administration wants to keep from you. Watch it tonight and get 20% off the viewing experience by using my name. SalemNow.com, America's Forgotten, promo code G-O-R-K-A. We're going to go to your calls. V and John, don't go anywhere. The number is 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. You can also text us at 703-869-1262. I personally respond to those texts. Yes, Dr. G, takes me some time. Can take me some time. But it's me that's tapping those texts. Not when I'm in studio, because they can hear me on the podcast. Those long fingernails. Don't text, I've been told. And I obey. Professor, we will obey. But if you're calling us, please, please make sure that you're doing it from a patriotic phone. What does he mean, a patriotic phone? Well, guess what? Most of the big cell phone companies are not on your side. Could you imagine? Think of this scenario. Every month, somebody goes to your purse, somebody goes to your billfold and takes money out of it and gives it to Planned Parenthood or to a gun control organization. Would you agree to that? Of course you wouldn't. But if we're all with one of the big cell phone companies, that's exactly what happens at the end of the month when you pay your bill. They make donations to Democrat candidates, to Planned Parenthood, to gun control organizations. Stop it! Don't fund your enemies! Join the only conservative Christian cell phone company, PatriotMobile.com, rated number one in customer service in the United States. Number one. They can transfer your old number. Their U.S.-based team are superb, and they have a dependable nationwide 4G LTE network. Call them today. You won't regret it. 972-PATRIOT or PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. Great discounts for all Americans, especially veterans and first responders. Join the guys who promote and believe in the stuff you believe in. 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/GORKA.
It doesn't give you a license to waste money. I want to put up my hand and say, I'm a taxpayer. I wish you had fought harder to take out all the pork, because that's what it is. And if enough of you had done that, you would have represented the American people and the people that are unemployed even better than this. This is so wasteful.
Oh, Leave a congressman in the dust there. Nicely done. Kevin O'Leary strikes back. And that congressman nobody's ever heard of, Tom Suozzi. Just stuttering there. Don't deal with the grumpiest Shark Tank competitor if you're not ready to do so. If you haven't done so already, you've heard the message. Please, please support Mike Lindell. He doesn't deserve what they're doing to him. It's just wrong. And it's wrong for all the wrong reasons. He's a patriot. He loves this country. He's an amazing businessman. And now they want to destroy him. They want to cancel his company. 25 corporations are boycotting him. Please support him right now. Go straight to his website. Cut out the middleman, and you'll save more than 60% if you use my name. His products are made in the United States. He has over 100 of them. If you've got the pillow, check out the other amazing products. Support this man. Send a message to the cancel culture fascists on the left. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com for those massive, massive discounts. Promo code GORKA. Please support Mike today. Okay, let's go to your calls. Let's go to John in San Diego, line two. Welcome, John.
Hey, Sebastian. What tools exactly has the Fed suddenly created to fight inflation? For 100 years, all they've ever used is interest rates, and raising interest rates has never really worked. All it does is make the national debt go up faster by the increased interest rates on it.
Did you not get the briefing from Joe Biden yesterday on the magic pixie dust they're deploying at the Fed?
Well, all I knew is he can't remember anything, so I don't really listen to him anymore.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. That there is the Fed has no tool. The only tool they have is interest rates. And the idea that somehow magically that doesn't have a negative effect on the economy, you nailed it, John. Nicely done. Stay on the line. Let's give John a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. If you want your signed copy of any of my books, go to sebgorka.com today. Let's go to Ed in California, line three. Welcome, Ed.
Sebastian, hi. Thank you for taking my call. You're a true American, and so is Mike Lindell.
Thank you kindly. We try. What brings you to our sunny shores today?
My question is, let me preface it with, when the first day of Kayleigh McEnany as press secretary for President Trump, and she's probably the best press secretary in my life.
Hang on. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is pretty good, don't you think, Ed?
Yeah, she was fantastic, but nobody's like Kayleigh. Anyway, the first day as press secretary, someone from the press corps made her promise, actually swear, to never lie to them, and she promised not to. Can someone from Fox or Newsmax actually pose that same question to Jen Psaki and make her answer?
You know what? I know both of the White House correspondents for both of those corporations, and I think I might just text them and send them that great, great idea. I do think, wasn't it Abilio? Wasn't it little Jimmy Acosta who did that?
I don't know if it was Jim. I thought it was a female reporter, but, you know, they've never done that. I've never seen that
well,
done.
Hang on, Ed. You don't know what gender Abilio Acosta has chosen. How dare you say that he's not a woman?
Well, you know what? Jimmy's career has faded pretty quick once President Trump was out of office, so I think he'll just disappear.
Yeah, he is hopefully going to be irrelevant sooner rather than later. Great reminder. I think it's because she's a blonde. I think Ed has a thing for blondes, but it's a toss-up between Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kayleigh McEnany. But Sean, yeah, he wasn't bad either. Stay on the line. Let's give Ed also a signed copy of whichever book he would prefer. Defeating Jihad, Why We Fight Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies, or the latest, The War for America's Soul. Okay, the challenge in front of us comes from every element of the Biden administration. Here we have the new presidential press secretary, Jen Psaki, who is doing her dutiful best to follow the ideological line, just try for a moment to wrap your mind around what she is saying here. Jen Psaki, video cut 10, play cuts.
Well, first, let me say the president's position on the rights of transgender kids to play sports is clear. He signed an executive order, and he believes transgender rights are human rights and wants to see kids have the opportunity to play sports and participate in a range of activities.
Hang on, Shan, you got the radar is... She doesn't know how to say transgendered there. Twice she mispronounces it, doesn't she?
Yeah, I it's probably because she's reading off of, you know, multiple cue cards and et cetera.
But transgender, twice.
Transgender.
Twice.
Transgender. Look, it's obvious that when you're selling the bill of goods that she's selling right there, it's
going
to be tough. You're going to trip over yourself because eventually you have to start thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I have a nice bridge to sell in Connecticut. Yeah, I understand your logic. I like it. Play it again. Let's just listen to her incapacity to sell us this insanity that is labeled transgender. It's not complicated. Play cut 10.
Well, first, let me say the president's position on the rights of transgender kids to play sports is clear. He signed an executive order, and he believes transgender rights are human rights and wants to see kids have the opportunity to play sports and participate in a range of activities.
Transgender. I think the closest is transgender. Is it saying transgender? Is that the Japanese or French or the combined Japo-French combination, Franco-Japonois? Pronunciation. Shanzhenja. What about the rights of women? What are the rights of girls not to be threatened in the place they should be the safest, in the locker room, in the changing room? What an outrage. What a hack you are. Okay, back to your calls momentarily on 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A, that's 833-334-6752. PatriotMobile.com. Text line is 703-869-1262. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Don't take my word for it. See the incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com from Americans who are daily getting their lives back liberated from pain. And then find out for yourself if you could be the next Relief Factor success story, like Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear that? Her pain is gone. Surely you deserve to find out if Relief Factor can work for you. Well, there's only one way how. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by America's Forgotten and Salem Now.
If you haven't done so already, well, first things first, thanks to everybody who's supporting Food for the Poor. Every year, you guys step up to the plate to help the dispossessed, the most needy in our hemisphere, especially the children who go to bed hungry. If you haven't done so, please, please make a donation today. You can really help those who are most in need by going to our website, sebgorka.com, and clicking on the Food for the Poor banner. If you donate $185 once, just once, you're going to feed 5 children. Not for a month, not for 2 months, 6 months. Make a difference. Save a life today. SebGorka.com, Food for the Poor banner, or call 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Somebody wants to comment on Shanzhenzha. It is Ray from Livermore, line 2.
Yes, Dr. G. Always a pleasure. Great show today. As
you do you have a new pronunciation of Changendra? Can you pronounce
Changendra.
It?
Changendra. I think that Ms. Saki has been to the J. Robinette School of Enunciation.
You mean her dentures are loose as well? Her, Nancy, and Joe?
Yeah, the Nancy Pelosi School of Enunciation.
I've got
a couple more observations here for time. Did you know that Jen Psaki really wasn't the first choice? At least my unnamed sources have told me.
I'm curious. Who was the first choice? Yeah. Was it Speedy Gonzalez or was it Pepe Le Pew?
No, it was actually Jeffrey Toobin, but when they told him, he said he had his hands full.
Oh, behave. Behave, Ray from Livermore. Did you see that photograph of Stealthy Boy in his underwear doing his TV interview?
No, I didn't.
You're a lucky man. You are a lucky man because it's out there. What's your second contribution?
Well, if Jen Psaki had married George Pataki, the former governor of New York, she'd be Jen Psaki Pataki. Or if she'd married the former senator from California, Senator Hayakawa, she could be Jen Hayakawa Psaki.
Oh, my God. Do you make these up yourself, Ray?
I'm very bored, sir. Yes, indeed.
That is very, very good, especially the second one. You're a naughty, cheeky chappy, but we love you for it. Tell us, how's business for you?
Well, it's picking up, sir.
Good.
And, you know, the governor, he sees this recall is right on the horizon, so he's trying to open the state up. He's trying to get it back to normal.
Is it going
to
save him?
No, because he's made enough people on both sides of the political spectrum upset. And I know of a guy who's handing out petitions downtown here in my little town, and he says, when we open up, he has a little restaurant bar, he says, I'm never closing again. I don't care what anybody says. I am
God
never closing
bless
again.
Him. Shake that man's hand when you see him. First, Cuomo, the first pin down, and the next, Nancy's nephew, Gruesome Newsom. Come on, Californians. You can recall him. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Thank you, Ray. This is America First.